Once again, here on Robin Hood Radio, we are joined by Dr. Mark Herko of the Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health, to get an update, which we get frequent updates from Mark and New Vance Health on what is going on at Sharon Hospital. And of course, there's a lot of talk and a lot of letters and a lot of information floating back and forth in the community. And we'd like to give all sides concerned in the future of the Sharon Hospital equal say on the air to explain and to give their viewpoints. And that's probably the main thing that we're going to do this morning. Dr. Herko, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks, Marshall. And it's a sleety, snowy, icy day. So everyone be safe out there. Right, and so, if you could, just stay home.
that's exactly right. Once again, I have to credit the folks. Once again, I've been undergoing a battery of tests for to find out my lung issues and my blood issues. And once again, I've had three or four visits in the past week to Sharon Hospital for different tests, and everything has gone smoothly. I haven't had to spend a lot of time waiting to get into the test. So once again, kudos to your staff there at the Sharon Hospital, first of all.
Well, thank you. I want to congratulate them. Sharon was recently ranked as one of Connecticut's top hospitals for patient experience by Becker's Health Review. So we're really honored to be part of that small group that were recognized throughout the state. So really, really excited about that. And I have my red on today because This is Heart Month. So I made sure I have that on. And excited about being able to kind of give updates regularly here. So thank you.
Okay, so let's go over your latest update from New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital about the transformation plan that the hospital has proposed and is now before the state and is out before the community.
Sure. Since this late September, when we announced this multifaceted transformation plan, we've convened work groups comprising of medical staff members, administration members, clinical staff, and really are working through the various phases of the main portions of that plan, which included consolidation of our inpatient footprint, the planned closure of labor and delivery, moving forward with expansion of our primary care access and services, along with specialty care access, and expansion of our behavioral health program. So a lot there going on. The main focus lately has been our consolidation of our inpatient footprint. There's a lot of confusion out there regarding what does that mean? What are we doing with that? You know, we have a large building. We have a lot of areas that really are not being utilized efficiently. And one of those areas is our inpatient care area. On our first floor, we have what we call our intensive care unit, which is located right off of our emergency room area. And that is an older, aging type of a location. Functional and working very well, but it's underutilized. We average maybe 20-25% occupancy of that unit at any point. Separated from that by another floor and maybe close to 100 feet or 200 feet would be our medical surgical unit. And with that's where all of our inpatients are for both surgery and our internal medicine type of admissions. And that at any moment is about 40-50% occupied. So we have to maintain both those units, you know, you have to keep staffing 100% for both of those units. And that's been the rub over the years since we have, as a system, have assumed the care of this facility. And we're at that point where if we really look deep and hard at what we're actually caring for and who we're caring for in our facilities, particularly in our intensive care unit, we're actually functioning as a progressive care unit or a telemetry type unit where people come in with heart attacks, people come in with respiratory failure, etc. But true high intensity intensive care really is not something that we've ever had there. We've actually stabilize those patients. And then if we have the expertise, we care for them there. Otherwise, being part of a larger system, we actually move those patients to other tertiary facilities in our system. And that's the way we've been functioning. So we decided that if we really look down and hard and deep within ourselves, if we consolidate our medical surgical unit with what we call our ICU and call it a progressive care telemetry unit, we will maintain the current level of care that we're offering today at both locations and combine it into one location. We will then have synergies in regards to consolidating resources, and we will consolidate staffing so we can flex the rooms up or down in regards to acuity settings based upon the level of care that the patients need, and the patients can actually stay in that same room. And we can then utilize the various aspects that the rooms can offer for one patient. So we're really taking advantage of what is the current and future for our facility, and what a lot of community and smaller rural hospitals have done in the past and throughout the nation. So we're really encouraged and really working hard at making this consolidation work. We really have to let the community know this is not a reduction of services. This is just a consolidation of the services in the one location. The consolidation means we will make effective use of our resources of staff, space, and resources to currently care for the patients at the same level that we're currently caring for them now. And what we're waiting for is sent forward a letter consolidation a letter of determination to the state OHS, waiting for them to give us a final determination if we needed to file a certificate of need or not. So I know I'm being wordy today, but we really wanted to be clear in that we're actually awaiting for the state's determination if we can just move forward with the consolidation, since we are not affecting or changing any services or cutting any services at our facility. And the second part of that is we had to actually do some minor renovation with adding some different types of access to gases centrally within each room and upgrade some of the rooms, which we did. We had the Department of Public Health come through, and we did very well with that determination. And we were awaiting final approval of the last permit that they asked us to obtain. The last step, which also will lead to some delays in actually occupying these spaces, is we have to wait for the vendor who supplied a lot of the monitors and other equipment for our consolidation plan. They have to actually have availability for their support people as we move forward into this, into our new realm. And so tying all these things together and coordinating them has been the devil in the details.
Now, you've applied for this letter. What if the state actually says, okay, we want to go through more hearings? How does that affect your plan, and how does that affect your timetable overall?
I will just again follow the edicts of the state and work with the state as we move forward. And that's why, again, we wanted to have everything ready. So if they let us, if they allow us, and they agree with our viewpoint and perspective as to how we want to consolidate these units, then we move forward with it. If they ask for a formal certificate of need, then we follow their edict and we move forward with that too.
And that, of course, if you have to get a formal certificate of need, that will add obviously probably months onto the timeline, right?
Sure. And that's where, you know, things are getting tight, because it's hard to maintain staffing, particularly in what we call the ICU. We have limited staffing, and with the in the era of the Great Resignation, and with our last COVID wave, which really for the first time hit our hospital relatively hard, we've had challenges in regards to maintaining full-time staffing in that unit. So we've been limited with our capacity at times. So it's kind of a catch-22, in regard to, we hope that the state agrees with us and we can move forward. But again, we will listen to the state.
All right. And one last thing, seeing as we brought up COVID, does it appear that we're past the peak of the wave now in your hospital or no?
Right now, we are on the downward trend. At one point, even in our senior behavioral health unit, we had 70% of our patients were positive or COVID positive. And then we had our high watermark of close to 65% of all inpatients were COVID positive. And that was about 2 weeks ago. So that's coming down. But with this stealth COVID mutation that's out there, all bets are off. We thought it would be a high spike and drop, but we're seeing more of a plateau and gradual decrease in this wave. So I'm gonna keep my mouth shut, and we hope for the best at this point and prepare for the worst, as they say.
Well, I feel pretty good because both times I had to go into the ER and I had my COVID test. I came out A-okay. As a matter of fact, came out A-okay for the flu. So keeping myself out of circulation and wearing a mask and getting my shots seemed to have worked for me.
That's good. That's good. But even if we had go ahead and move forward with our, as we move forward with our consolidation of the unit, if you ever had a respiratory problem, which require a ventilator or, the high level telemetry and monitoring, all that is there. And all of that can be utilized and will be utilized as necessary to care for the patients, just like we do today, just like we did in the past. So we are not changing our level of care at all.
All right. Well, we're going to keep in close contact with you, as we have with everybody with this issue, and get regular updates from you, Mark. I appreciate you joining us today, and enjoy on the day we're doing this. We're having a nice and sleet storm. So stay in the office and stay warm.
I'll do my best.